For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Welcome to the madness in March, everybody. 4 weeks of college basketball fever. On the men's side, your favorites to win are Houston, defending champion UConn, Purdue, who's choked each of the last 3 years, so many options on the table. On the epic women's side of the bracket, Iowa's your betting favorite. South Carolina's the undefeated champion. The big three of Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, and Morrow at LSU. Juju Watkins in USC. Tara Vanderveer's Stanford team. So many teams on the table. And if you want to bet on any and all of them, BetOnline Sportsbook has you covered before the big dance. Use our promo code BLEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, to pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the link in the description to this episode. Click on that link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello?
Kyle, are you with me?
Yes, I am with you. How are you? I'm glad because I really want to ask you about NC State so badly. You guys are the darlings of the whole tournament. It's so cool for you to get to have a run like this while you live so close to campus and around the community still.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, what's fascinating is that we have three in the same area code within 9.8 miles from Carolina to Duke, just about south of 20 miles from Duke to NC State, and just about south of 25 miles from NC State to Carolina. That's pretty big. The ACC as well, 25% of the field left in the round of 16. So it's really an exciting time to be here in the Carolinas, in both North and South Carolina, with Clemson joining the party as well.
All right, so take me through Thursday, or wait, no. Was it Thursday and Saturday for you, or was it Friday, Sunday for NC State?
It was Thursday, Saturday.
So take me through Thursday, Saturday, and everything that went on there.
Yeah, I feel like Texas Tech made a big mistake, kind of like what Duke and Syracuse and Carolina and Virginia did, by not double-teaming DJ Burns on Thursday evening. I think Texas Tech really didn't have the bigs to match up with us. I think I said that on your podcast 5 days ago, where the guard play may be a wash or a little bit of a lean towards Texas Tech, but the bigs, there really was no comparison for Burns and Diarra, a huge edge to the Wolfpack there. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I thought that the legs would wear out, the pressure would finally hit the Wolfpack as a team that maybe not deserving to be there. And it really didn't. Played very loose, played smart, somehow won the game with 0 points from O'Connell, who is basically the best six man that we've had in a long time. Sometimes he starts, but most of the time he comes off the bench as a shooting guard. So it really was an extraordinary win for the Wolfpack, and pretty easy one. And then you fast forward to Saturday, Now, Oakland was the smarter team than Texas Tech and the other teams that I mentioned from the ACC tournament. Burns would create a double team every single time, but where he is so elusive, Kyle, as a four, he can pass really well. So when you double him, obviously there's somebody that's going to have a look. And at some key moments there, especially in overtime, you double Burns, someone's going to make a play, whether it's Morsell, O'Connell, or even, you know, even Diarra. So it was a really, really good game plan by Oakland. And just a heartbreaking loss for Oakland. They had a chance to win in regulation with that turnover. So, you know, I'm a little bit optimistic against Marquette. You know, obviously, you know, we're a touchdown underdog. But I think at this point, anything is possible. But the one thing I like to tell people that bet is, you know, think about if this game was played on January 25th. Marquette versus NC State on a neutral court. And you're probably willing to bet that Marquette's going to be a 12.5 point favorite. So now you're getting an inflated line of 7.5 or 7, depends on 6.5, depends on where you shop. So like, I think the smart money would be on Marquette in this situation. But this is magical. And, you know, I hope that I'm wrong and I hope that we somehow emerge.
Yeah, this is a game that you're not invested in whether or not you win or lose on the betting side of it. I mean, this is your team getting to be the Cinderella team of the tournament. Because looking at the rest of the field, there's not really any more Cinderella teams left. I mean, the closest thing to it would be San Diego State, but even they have to, they were in the championship game last year. And so it's not that surprising that a team like them is still alive in the tournament. But you guys are the closest thing to like a Cinderella team that's left in a tournament that's been relatively chalk so far.
Yeah, the fact that we were the 10th seed in the ACC tournament and we're the 11th seed in the NCAA is pretty remarkable to still be here. And, you know, going back to San Diego State in that East bracket, I think one of the questions you asked me a couple days ago was, is this the bracket that's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4? And I said, yeah, I think it is. I think it's pretty evident that it is. But I mean, what a disaster by Auburn with a technical foul, flagrant two, one losing a key player. And then the end of the game, the inability to hit a field goal, maybe one field goal in the last 5 minutes. That was just a really bizarre ending to the Auburn-Yale game. But the right four teams are in that region. And that rematch for the national championship has no pageantry to it whatsoever, right? I mean, UConn probably I haven't looked at that line. I'm going to guess has to be north of 10, right, against San Diego State. It's just not a game that people are getting excited about, but you kind of should be, right? Or a rematch of the national championship the next year. How often does that happen? But there's just this UConn team. It's just a machine. I haven't seen a team like this in a long time. If you take back and look at that one sloppy loss to Creighton, and you take away that one sloppy loss, this is a machine from mid-February onwards. Going to be tough for them to lose in this tournament.
So the line as it currently stands is 11 in favor of UConn. But what's really interesting, and it's obviously early in the week, so it's mostly just public who's going after it right now, 84% of the bets are on UConn and over 95% of the money is on UConn minus 625 at this point. So Vegas is just taking your UConn money early on in the week, which I understand why, especially on the point spread, because as someone who's been watching San Diego State basketball with Steve Fisher and Brian Dutcher for literally his entire life, the thing that they're great at is keeping a game close by mucking it up, playing defense and shooting free throws.
Yeah, I think if you can continue to get that number north of 10, I think San Diego State could be some good value there. Obviously, the reason why it's so high on the money line at minus 625 is because you probably Vegas and all the different stats you're looking at probably account for money line parlays. There aren't many people that are going to lay $6 on a team, right? Because you would have to have a massive, massive number to lay to really generate any income out of that, unless you're just betting, you know, $50 to win what, like, you know, $10. But, you know, I think that UConn is going to be heavily invested into some money line parlays, you know, with the likes of UNC and Purdue, you know, potentially. So, you know, my thing on this is UConn's definitely a money line parlay play for me. It's just whether, you know, who is the play to marry with them. Honestly, you know, if I wasn't an NC State graduate or fan, I think I would recommend the Marquette UConn Big East money line parlay. That would probably be the path to go as something that I feel most comfortable with going into Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up the UConn San Diego State championship rematch too, because I, as someone who grew up watching San Diego State, and I who recognize this is the first time I think in program history San Diego State's making it to consecutive Sweet 16s, even I kind of forgot that this was a championship game rematch between UConn and San Diego State. And because they're so, there's so much of a dichotomy geographically between those teams, there's literally no history between them until this last year. The game's going to be played in Boston, which is as close to a home game as you can possibly get for UConn. Like, yeah, I understand why there isn't a pageantry behind it, even if this is, for the second year in a row, these teams battling it out after a championship game that was relatively forgettable, but, I mean, not super forgettable if you root for one of these two teams.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, I think it's a really interesting storyline that probably is not going to get the attention it deserves. But I really think that you look at the bottom half of that bracket, that's what we all wanted to see. We wanted to see the Big Ten champ versus the Big 12 champ defense.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
First offense. Boy, besides the first half, Illinois, you know, barely getting through Morehead State. That second half was incredible. And then what they did to Duquesne, we can go into my BYU dilemma in a minute if you want. But I'll tell you what, I went ahead and feel really good about Illinois in this spot. I think offense typically beats out defense. Iowa State has looked really good as well. But this Illinois team is clicking at the right time. Big Ten champions, a team that gets a little bit dicey on defense. But I like Illinois small here, Kyle, to emerge as I think a 2.5-point dog. Probably would just try to wait and see if you can get that to 3 or 3.5. But certainly a play that I like with Illinois as a dog in this spot.
All right. So I would like to know your BYU dilemma. Also, my whole dilemma with this side of the bracket. And I went for 4 for 4. I hit UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, and Iowa State. But the whole thing with Illinois was like, I don't really believe in them, but I also don't see anyone beating them until the Sweet 16. So we're just going to put them through because it's not worth it to try and predict. But I'm curious what differs in your BYU dilemma.
Well, I would just say a dilemma from a financial perspective, from the, you know, from Survivor to some moneyline parlays. I haven't seen a team so afraid to lose and shoot like BYU did against Duquesne. Duquesne, I'll say this again, was the most overseeded team in the tournament. That came to fruition against Illinois, losing by, what, 30-something points. BYU, if they, you know, their top two players couldn't hit the ocean from the beach. And I really believe that they were scared. They were scared out there. And I don't understand why. They're a vastly better team than Duquesne. You play that game tomorrow on a neutral court, I'm still making BYU 8.5 to 10.5, and I think they win that game pretty easily. Just a very frustrating loss. That was my favorite value play. One of those situations that really should have come home. I mean, when they tied the game, I felt pretty good about it. But the amount of turnovers and scared basketball really, really affected my path to any possibility of a Survivor championship. Didn't affect my brackets, but definitely really killed the day one afternoon vibes for me. But things got a lot better. And I told you, you know, my two of my plays that I really liked were fading the Fugazi Gamecocks and taking the Clemson Tigers over those, you know, very trendy New Mexico Lobos who had a very average year in the Mountain West, even though they won the tournament in Vegas. But, you know, everybody just kept saying New Mexico this, New Mexico that. New Mexico is going to go to the Sweet 16. They may even get through the Elite Eight by beating Arizona. And I just didn't see it. Just too much action on New Mexico. I watched this Clemson team go into Chapel Hill and beat them up pretty good. Yes, Clemson struggled in the ACC tournament. We forget about what they did earlier on in the year. So it really came home well with Oregon over South Carolina and Clemson over New Mexico as two of my favorite plays of the week.
All right. I do want to talk to you about Clemson and this West region because I had something truly incredible happen with my bracket this year. So on the on the East region side, of the Sweet 16 teams went 4-for-4, knocked all of them out. South region, 4-for-4, knocked all of them out, including picking NC State to go to the Sweet 16, knocked them all out 4-for-4. Midwest, knocked them all out 4-for-4. Every single one got it exactly correct. From Purdue to Gonzaga to Creighton to Tennessee, got them all. Get to the West region, I went 0-for-4. Every single one wrong. Entire bracket, a total clusterfuck. Completely wrong. So talk to me about the West region, because clearly I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the West and the Sweet 16.
So obviously you didn't have much faith in Carolina and Arizona, which I felt were really, you know, I can understand the Michigan State win. Is that what I assume?
Yeah,
have
so
State
so I had yeah. My Sweet 16 yeah. was Michigan State, St. Mary's, Baylor, and Nevada.
Yeah, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we can start with St. Mary's as probably, I would say, Kyle, of any top eight seed that laid an egg, it's St. Mary's. That was awful.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I had St. Mary's through to the Sweet 16, losing to Carolina. I felt pretty good about St. Mary's play against Alabama and making Alabama struggle with, you know, slowing the ball down, Alabama's defense getting frustrated probably because they're so bad. But yeah, that's a deflating loss. The other ones that you pick through, I can live with your Baylor play, you know, getting through that pretty easily, potentially against Clemson or New Mexico. Nevada, man, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's probably the worst bad beat I've seen in a long time. I mean, to outscored by what, 20 at the end of the game?
They were up 17 with 7.5 minutes to go, and they scored 1 point the rest of the game. One freaking point in the final 7.5 minutes of the game.
That's hard to do, even if you weren't trying to do it. I mean, that's just impossible to do, right? I mean, I feel like you're going to get to the free throw line at least three times and find a way to score a couple buckets there. But yeah, I don't like that Arizona loss to Nevada. I think I said on your podcast 4 or 5 days ago that this is Arizona's best chance to actually do something. Even last year was probably a good chance, but I really, really liked the scenario of playing Nevada or Dayton in round two. And I wasn't worried about the beach. And as far as Carolina, Michigan State, you know, Kyle, you may not have been that off. If you watch the first 13 minutes of that game, Michigan State was probably live on the money line minus $3 when they were up about 12 or 13. And boy, did the Carolina defense just come stifling down. And then R.J. Davis got a little bit a little hot. Harrison Ingram got hot. I don't mind the Michigan State upset. I do have a problem with your Nevada Sweet 16, but obviously I'm no genius. I have mistakes too, but I would say Arizona was puzzling for me to not have them in the Sweet 16 at least.
So you feel pretty confident about Arizona going up against Clemson, I would imagine.
Arizona doesn't play much defense. That's the problem. So if Clemson has really good guards, and if Clemson's guards play well, I think Clemson can cover the number. And Arizona is probably a pretty safe value with a money line parlay, with a UConn, as we mentioned, with a Marquette. But I wouldn't bet that number straight up at what, minus probably $275 to $3 would be my guess. I like Clemson here to cover. Probably Zona to win. It's going to be an Arizona party in Los Angeles. Like, we know that, right? Arizona travels very well to cities like Salt Lake, Las Vegas, and LA. I think Clemson will have about 3% of the fans there. Arizona will probably encompass about 65%, and you can spread it out between Alabama and North Carolina.
Yeah, we're looking at minus 305 for Arizona right now, plus 7 for Clemson. So maybe that's the way to go if you want to parlay those together. What do you think about North Carolina, Alabama out of that region too?
I think Carolina's defense will be too much for Alabama. I think Alabama's going to score, but they'll get frustrated. I like Carolina. I've said it all the last month and a half. You had one bad slip up against NC State over the last 5 weeks. Yes, we can account for the Georgia Tech loss. That was 3 days after beating Duke at home back in early mid-February. they went down to Atlanta, laid an egg. I think they may have lost. I don't want anyone to, I don't want to be quoted here. Maybe by a touchdown. I can't remember what they lost in Atlanta to. It was a pretty easy win for Georgia Tech, I think. And then I would say that outside of the Carolina game and that 6-7 minute stretch in the second half against NC State in the championship game, this is a really good squad. Their defense is incredible. I like what they're doing with Trimble off the bench. I think Carolina wins this game. I honestly think Carolina would have had more problems with St. Mary's, who plays really good D and has a couple bigs that may have given Baycott a little bit of trouble. So I'm chalky. I have Carolina and Arizona through to the West Regional Final.
So swinging over to the other side of the bracket, we talked about NC State and Marquette so far. The other game in that region, I believe, is Duke and Houston.
It is, yeah.
Obviously, Houston kicking ass and taking names on their way to the Sweet 16 as the number one seed, looking pretty dang close to unbeatable. But what do you make about Duke and their journey to the Sweet 16 so far?
Well, I'll answer your Duke question in a second, but I think I would probably disagree with you after a massive collapse last night. They almost lost that game to Texas A&M. Texas A&M was down by 13 and got that game to overtime because Houston just absolutely collapsed on defense, committed some silly fouls. I think what I learned about Houston last night, Kyle, is they're not that deep, right? I mean, I think I knew that earlier on when we had.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Me on a couple weeks ago, I said that Iowa State is probably a lot deeper than Houston. Kansas has no depth, and that's what scared me the most about Kansas and Houston. Boy, they got lucky to win that game. I think that Duke, on the other hand, to answer your question, they had a pretty easy path. Listen, I was wrong. I really thought Wisconsin was going to beat up on JMU. But I feel good. I felt good about Duke beating up on James Madison. So we got that one back. I'm not impressed with Duke's path so far. I don't think they have the guard play to match up with Houston. They have the depth and they have a big that can match up with Houston. But the guards should be completely outclassed with Shedd and Cryer. I like Houston here. I think it's a good money line value. If it's south of $2, I think you have to take Houston in this spot.
Yeah, you raise a good point about Houston having to go to overtime to take down Texas A&M. I was confusing their result with the Purdue one, which is where I'll bring up the next question, which is that do we want to wait on Purdue to issue the apology? Because they've been excellent so far. But do we wait until after this Gonzaga game to officially apologize on behalf of Zach Edey and Purdue and all the jokes we made on their behalf the last 2.5 years?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough matchup because Gonzaga has big and EK, but he's not really that big, right? He's big in our world, but Edey towers over EK. Guard play, I'd say, is a slight lean towards Gonzaga, maybe, but not really. It's really almost a pretty even matchup in guard play. I think the depth certainly goes to Purdue, and the bigs certainly go to Purdue. But now it just comes down to who do you trust on that bench? 9 straight Sweet 16s with Mark Few, Matt Painter, perennial choker. I don't like Purdue that much. I probably would lean Gonzaga with the points. I hope Purdue emerges because they are my national champion in my big pool. That's the team that I've put in there to win it. I know I'll regret it, but – ironically, Kyle, 5 other people have them. I thought I was going to be a little sneaky with just maybe me and 1 or 2 other people. That's not the case. I'm battling 5 other Purdue folks to win the national championship. I think they may get it done, but it's not a confident play. Give me Gonzaga plus the points, and hopefully Purdue on the money line emerges.
All right. I did not realize you were all the way in on Purdue at this point, which is a good value pick. I mean, I assume not very many in terms of people willing to pick a number one seed. This is probably like the lowest I would imagine anyone is picking a one seed, and it's just based on reputation. So like, I don't hate the idea of going for Purdue. I had them dropping out in the Elite Eight, but that's also because it's a one seed, and it makes very little sense to pick against a one seed until the Sweet 16. And I think Purdue is in this really interesting space where I think they're the best team left in the tournament, non-UConn category, and not a lot of people are talking about it that way.
I think Purdue's the number two team in the country. I think you really, really would have to say that Houston is someone that can possibly give Purdue a run. That we may see that in Phoenix. I just don't know if Carolina has anybody to match up with Edey. I mean, Baycott is a small big, right, in the world of Zach Edey. I think Purdue would beat up on Carolina. There's no bigs for Houston. Now, the guard play for Houston is much better than Purdue, so that would be an interesting matchup. Will the bigs be the difference, or will the little guys be the difference in that Purdue-Houston potential Final Four? I would say Purdue versus Houston on a neutral court, it's going to be close to about a, you know, probably 1 to 2.5 points. So that's really meaningless. But Purdue, Carolina, I think you got to make Purdue 4 on a neutral court. As far as UConn versus Purdue, probably UConn 3.5 or 4. So it's these one seeds are pretty close to even money. But I think you're right. I think that Purdue is the second best team in the country right now, behind UConn. And I think it will be Purdue versus Creighton. I know you're going to probably – we want to dive into that matchup. But, again, Rick Barnes almost did everything he could. Or not him directly. You can't blame it all on the coach. But, boy, Texas had some chances there at the end, you know, when they were down big. And I just don't trust the SEC right now. And I don't trust Barnes. Give me the tougher, stronger, smarter Creighton team over Tennessee in the Sweet 16 to face off against Purdue.
Well, let's talk about Creighton and Tennessee, because this is the round every year where a Rick Barnes team with expectations loses. It's always right now. Sweet 16, whenever Tennessee has expectations, this is where they drop out. So I feel good about Creighton. That was my pick. That's my Final Four pick in that region. So I feel pretty good about Creighton at this point. They were inches away, or I guess really a shove in the back away from maybe making the Final Four last year. So let's talk Creighton and Tennessee.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're the tougher, smarter team. I think that if you take out Dalton Kennett out of the equation, Tennessee's in major trouble. And I think people will say, well, you can say the same thing about Trey Alexander. I don't know. I think that Creighton has the better unit on the floor, 5-on-5 overall with Tennessee. And I mean, I just don't trust Rick Barnes. You know, you can say, well, you shouldn't trust Matt Painter. I agree. You should not trust Matt Painter for some reason, because he's such a great coach. I mean, well, Purdue hasn't lost a non-conference game in 3 years outside of the NCAA tournament. That's remarkable. Now, of course, you're talking about some really, you know, low-level teams here that they play in January. But I don't know, Kyle. I just trust Creighton in this spot. Probably a 2.5-point underdog would be my guess. Give me Creighton, and I'm with you here in the Elite Eight. I'm just on the opposite side with Purdue emerging there and hopefully cutting down the nets as your Midwest champs.
Which is the game that you're most excited of the eight to watch?
I think it's pretty easy for me.
Well, yeah.
Let me finish. If you take away Marquette, NC State, okay? Let's take away that game.
That's
sure,
what I meant,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, let's take away that game. I think it's an easy choice. It's Illinois-Iowa State. It's two conflicting styles of play, two conference champions. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right here. It's the only matchup of tournament conference champions in this dance so far in the Sweet 16. So that, to me, is by a mile the most exciting matchup of the Sweet 16 outside of my Wolfpack, for sure.
I'm going to assume it has to be the case, because I'm pretty sure Gonzaga didn't win the West Coast Conference.
Yeah. St. Mary's are your champs, yep.
And San Diego State didn't win the Mountain West, so I believe you are correct.
Yeah, so, you know, two powerhouse conferences, two conflicting styles. You know, I think two two pretty solid coaches that, you know, haven't really gotten too far into this dance. You know, that I mean, I think Iowa State may have sniffed the Elite Eight once. Illinois may have sniffed the Elite Eight once under their current coaching staff. But this is a big opportunity for both teams. Yeah, you know, what's waiting ahead is going to be brutal, but anything could happen in the tournament. Like I said, I'm on Illinois in this spot. I really can't wait to watch this matchup.
Yeah, I think that you hit it on the head with the two conference champions there. Illinois was a one seed 1 year and got bounced before the end of the first round of the tournament. But
they lost to an 8-9 seed Sister Jean that year. They lost to Sister Jean in a very disappointing second round loss.
Yes, I believe you would be correct about this is the furthest either of them have gotten. And who knows, maybe San Diego State will muck it up enough for them to not have to face UConn in the next round of the tournament. Well, good luck to your NC State Wolfpack. I know that's the team I'm rooting for. Even if it would break my bracket because I have Marquette going to the championship game, I am still rooting for your beloved NC State Wolfpack to pull it off. My bracket be damned. It would just be so cool if you guys could keep the magical season going, considering you would not have made the tournament if you had not won all five of those games at the conference tournament and now going to the Sweet 16. It's so awesome. So awesome for you. I want NC State to make it to the Final Four.
Well, I appreciate it, Kyle. Maybe we'll meet you in the final of San Diego State versus NC State. Probably wouldn't sell many tickets, but I think it would be pretty remarkable. And listen, you know, it's been a magical run. I hope it continues on. I do have Marquette as the South regional champs as well. So I think we're both invested in Marquette in that situation. But win or lose, it's a great season. I'm so excited for this Thursday through Sunday slate.
Yeah, it's going to be super duper fun. And best of luck to you, and hope you have a wonderful time with all the basketball.
Kyle, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to chatting with you after it's all said and done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.